The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI. Welcome to the deep dive.
Okay, so today we are really strapping in for maybe our most intense deep dive yet. We're tearing into David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind and Defy the Odds.
Yes, well, it's uncompromising.
Yeah, definitely raw. This isn't your typical motivational book. Mm-hmm. Goggins basically lays out this mandate, like you have to change. His whole point is that, okay, your mind, it's the ultimate weapon.
Right.
But the really shocking part is his main idea. Most of us, he argues, are only tapping into maybe 40% of what we're actually capable of.
That 40% rule, wow. The idea that our brain is basically, you know, lying to us, choosing comfort over what we could actually achieve, it's brutal.
It is, but compelling, like you said.
So our mission today is to kind of decode this blueprint Goggins gives us for, like, radical self-transformation. We want to understand the actual strategies he used, how to build that mental toughness, and importantly, why facing discomfort head-on is, in his view, the only real shortcut to excellence.
And, you know, to really get the philosophy, you have to understand the man himself. Goggins isn't just some theorist writing from an office.
No, not at all.
He's lived it. Every principle comes from his own experience, his own suffering, really. His authority is earned.
The change in him is just staggering. You're talking about someone who, I think, in his mid-20s was dealing with depression, obesity, a lot of childhood trauma.
Uh-huh. Working pest control.
Yeah, working pest control. Basically kind of adrift, running from a really dark past.
And then this complete turnaround. He becomes the only person, like ever, to complete the elite training for Navy SEALs, Army Ranger School, and Air Force Tactical Air Controller. Three different branches.
Hold on. Didn't he have to lose something like over 100 pounds in just 3 months to even qualify for SEAL training?
That's right. An incredible feat in itself.
I mean, talk about a 40% rule challenge right from the start.
Yeah.
And his physical stuff, it's almost unbelievable. Over 60 ultramarathons.
Yes. And he held the pull-up world record for a while. Something like 4,030 pull-ups in 17 hours. It's intense.
This is insane.
But it's that level of, you know, systematic, voluntary suffering that makes his view so distinct. It's not academic. It's forged in fire, literally. He took all that adversity from his childhood, the abuse, the racism, learning issues.
Yeah.
And he didn't let it define him as a victim. He's systematically flipped it, turned every single obstacle into, like, fuel for growth, high-octane fuel.
So when you actually read Can't Hurt Me, you realize it's this interesting mix. It's part memoir and a really harrowing one about escaping that past.
I don't want to harrow.
And part tactical manual. Like, here's how you build an armored mind step by step.
Right. And the problem he's really tackling is what he sees as this pervasive victimhood mentality, this constant seeking of comfort.
It's a softness.
Exactly, the softness. He thinks society encourages mental weakness, always looking for the easy way out, the quick fix. And that just sets you up for failure when real hardship hits.
So his blueprint is the antidote. It kicks off with the accountability mirror. That sounds painful.
It is. It's about brutal self-honesty, no sugarcoating. Mm-hmm. Then it moves into callousing the mind, deliberately seeking out hardship.
Okay.
And the engine driving it all is the 40% rule, this idea that there's this huge reserve potential locked away behind our brain's natural governor, its protection mechanism.
So it's not like other self-help books that offer, you know, easy steps. This demands constant, extreme accountability.
Continuous accountability, yeah. Okay. It's like a mental training program that forces you to shatter your own excuses about your limits.
Okay, let's unpack that starting point. He talks about facing reality. His big aha moment, was it when he was around 300 pounds?
Yeah, exactly. He hit rock bottom, felt totally defeated.
Yeah.
And he realized, you know, he couldn't run anymore. To change, he had to face the truth, however ugly.
And that led to the accountability mirror.
That's it. He literally stood in front of the mirror, took a hard look at himself, the man he'd become. And then, this is key, he wrote down his goals. Specific goals. No excuses allowed.
Wow.
Put them on sticky notes, plastered them right on the mirror. So every day, he was forced to confront reality and remember the mission. It's about radical ownership.
That makes sense. That total ownership, that's going to be the foundation, right? For anyone listening, that's where you have to start.
Absolutely.
And from there, setting that impossible task, losing all that weight, that's where he introduces taking souls. What exactly is that?
So taking souls is basically mental dominance. Think about SEAL training Hell Week. The instructors are actively trying to break you.
Right.
Goggins wouldn't just endure it. He'd push harder. He'd maybe even smile through the pain. He performed at a level that showed this unbreakable internal commitment. It demoralized the people trying to break him.
So he's dominating the obstacle mentally, whether it's an instructor or just that voice inside telling you to quit. Okay, that sounds super intense for like military training. But how does taking souls apply for, you know, the rest of us? In an office, maybe?
Well, it scales down. Think about a high-stakes meeting or presentation. Taking souls there means you show up so prepared, so confident in your work, that your sheer readiness subtly undermines the opposition or the challenge.
Ah, okay.
Your excellence becomes, like, psychologically intimidating to the obstacle itself. It's about owning the room through preparation and mindset.
Got it. So then he moves into building internal defenses, the armored mind strategy.
Yeah, the armored mind. It's a form of visualization, but it's not just picturing success. Critically, it's about planning for the pain.
Planning for pain.
Yes. You mentally rehearse how you're going to react before the challenge starts, specifically when your brain inevitably screams, quit. You anticipate the struggle and decide in advance how you'll push through.
Okay, so you're pre-programming your response to suffering.
Exactly. And when that suffering does hit, because it will, that's when you deploy the cookie jar.
A cookie jar. Mm. Sounds nice.
Huh. It sounds nice, but it's tough. It's a metaphorical jar where you store all your past accomplishments, your past victories over suffering. Not just huge wins, but any time you push through genuine hardship.
Mm-hmm.
So when the current pain feels overwhelming, you mentally reach into that cookie jar, pull out a memory. I got through X, I survived Y, and you use that past success as fuel. It reminds your brain, I've done hard things before, I can do this.
That's a really practical tool, using past wins to fuel present battles.
It's strategic fuel for your resolve.
So if the cookie jar is the fuel, then the 40% rule, that's about the engine's limit.
Right. This is the core, really.
Mm.
Goggins said, when your mind is screaming, I'm done, I can't go anymore, that's your internal governor kicking in. It's a protective mechanism.
Designed to keep us safe.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But Goggins argues that at that moment when you feel completely spent, you've actually only used about 40% of your real capacity.
Whoa. 40%. So there's 60% left.
60% more, hidden behind that mental wall. Removing the governor is about recognizing that quit signal, not as the end, but as like a starting point.
Okay.
You have to consciously ignore that initial signal and push just a bit further. One more rep, one more mile, even just 15 more minutes of focused work. It's that sustained effort against the quit signal that unlocks the other 60%.
That completely reframes pain, doesn't it? It's not a stop sign. It's a signal you're about to break through to new reserves.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, you know, overriding the speed limiter on a car to see what it can really do.
Precisely. It's about finding the true limits, not the manufactured ones.
Yeah.
And that really leads into the big themes of the book. Number one has to be mental toughness trumps talent.
Yeah, that comes through loud and clear. It's all about grit, isn't it? Sheer mental strength determines success far more than your starting point, your genetics, or your circumstances. Goggins himself is proof started with so many disadvantages.
Huge disadvantages.
Yeah.
And yet, elite performance through sheer will.
Okay, theme two.
Embracing pain is a catalyst. This idea of callousing the mind, it's crucial. You have to voluntarily seek out hardship.
Actively look for discomfort.
Yes.
Yeah.
Systematically raise your tolerance. If you handle small, chosen discomforts every day, like waking up 15 minutes earlier when you don't want to, doing the hardest task first, always taking the stairs.
Little things.
Little things. Build the calluses. So when a real crisis hits, your mind doesn't see it as a catastrophe. It sees it as manageable friction because it's used to discomfort.
That makes a lot of sense. And that connects to theme three, right? Radical self-accountability.
Absolutely. Goggins has zero time for victim mentality. Your past trauma, your suffering, it's not an excuse to fail. It's fuel.
Rocket fuel, he calls it.
Exactly. You acknowledge what happened, the bad hand maybe you were dealt, but you take 100% responsibility for how you respond now. No excuses.
And the last big theme.
This idea of being uncommon amongst the uncommon. It's about the relentless pursuit of excellence. It never stops.
So you don't just hit a goal and relax.
Never. You hit a goal, you maybe acknowledge it for a second, and then immediately you're asking, okay, what's next? What's the next impossible challenge? You're always pushing, always seeking that next level, becoming exceptional even among other exceptional people.
The language in the book is just so direct, so raw, it really sticks with you.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely quotable. Very powerful lines.
Let's share a couple. This one really captures his warning about modern life, I think.
Which one?
You are in danger of living a life so comfortable and soft that you will die without ever realizing your true potential.
Oof. Yeah. Comfort is the enemy. The biggest threat, really, to growth.
And what about this one? Focusing inward. The most important conversations you'll ever have are the ones you'll have with yourself.
That hits hard. Mastering that internal chatter, that self-talk, that's the primary battlefield.
Totally. And this last one, on preparation. We don't rise to the level of our expectations, we fall to the level of our training.
That's a classic.
Yeah.
So true. It's not about wanting it. It's about the work you put in before the test comes. Your preparation dictates how you'll perform under pressure.
Okay, so this is all incredibly intense. Goggins is operating at an extreme level. How do we, you know, regular people apply this stuff in our daily lives without running ultramarathons?
Yeah, great question. It translates surprisingly well. For just personal development, try the 40% rule today. Like when you're working or studying or even exercising and you feel that urge to stop, that mental fatigue.
Yeah.
Just push for 15 more minutes, just a little bit past that urge. See what happens. You start to build that muscle of pushing through.
Okay, that's doable. 15 minutes professionally.
Adopt the military idea of after action reports, ARs. Seriously, if a project fails or a presentation bombs,
don't just move on.
Don't just move on or blame others. Do it a brutal, honest self-assessment. No excuses. What specifically went wrong? Where was I weak or unprepared? How do I fix it for next time? Treat failure like data. Learn from it relentlessly.
Failure is data, not defeat. I like that. And for building habits.
Just find small daily ways to choose discomfort. Like you said, the little things. Take the cold shower instead of the hot one. Park at the far end of the parking lot. Always take the stairs.
Purposefully choose the slightly harder option.
Yes. Every time you do, you're building those mental calluses. It seems small, but it adds up. It builds resilience for the big stuff life throws at you.
Right. Makes you tougher overall.
You got it. What really stood out to me revisiting this was how Goggins looks at failure. He doesn't just bounce back. He, like, weaponizes it.
Weaponizes failure. How so?
Every time he failed, and he failed plenty, like in early SEAL training attempts, he didn't just get mad or quit. He analyzed why. What was the specific weakness? Then he attacked that weakness relentlessly until it became a strength. Failure wasn't an end. It was crucial intel.
That's a powerful reframe. For me, the biggest takeaway is just challenging my own assumptions about my limits. Reading this, you realize most barriers aren't actually physical or external.
They're mental.
Yeah, they're almost always self-imposed mental constructs. So the key is really shifting how we relate to pain and discomfort. Not something to run from, but something to accept. Maybe even welcome sometimes.
Welcome because it signals growth. It's the gateway to that other 60% you haven't tapped into yet.
Exactly. So maybe the question we leave everyone with is this. If you really are only using 40% of your potential, what's that one hard thing, that one difficult task you've been avoiding that might just hold the key to unlocking the other 60% of your growth?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.